Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to The Bible Coach, and I'm your host, M.D. Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue to share the Word of God right here live on this platform of Blog Talk Radio. And we just want to say that we appreciate you. We're encouraged by your listenership. And also, we just want to encourage you also to continue to study the Word of God as we are living in a time where we must and we have to. It's required of us that we should study the Word of God and to study it with such a deeper concern in that we get to get the knowledge and the understanding from the Word of God. So it's my prayer that you will continue to be students of the Word of God and, again, for listenership. Well, we're dealing with a pretty interesting subject tonight, and, of course, I want to announce and say to all of you that are listening that coming April, if you are in the DFW area, Tarrant County, Arlington, any of those areas in the state of Texas here, I want to invite you that coming up in April, the Lord has blessed and will be moving into a church where God will allow us to minister in that particular church. And I will have details forthcoming to you as far as the address and all of that is concerned. And we're going to have an opening in the first. So I'm going to invite all of you to come, as many as you possibly can, to come and share in our new building that we're going to be going into the sanctuary that's located here in Fort Worth, Texas. So I'll be sharing more details with you. I want to encourage you also that we are living in a time before the end of time. And it is so serious that you must take time out to study the prophetic word of God. If you do not have an understanding of the prophetic word, and I know that it's possible because there is not a lot of churches that will go into the book of Revelation or go into the book of Daniel, because those two books and also Isaiah and Ezekiel and many other Old Testament books do declare and share with us what's happening in our last days. And if you are going to understand the times and the seasons that we're living in, it would be a great thing if you would understand the book of Revelation. In the archives that's on the Blog Talk Radio program network, you can go into the Blog Talk Radio, thebiblecoach.com, and go into the archives. Look there, and you'll see a whole series on the book of Revelation and a whole series on the book of Daniel. Those two books go hand in hand when you're trying to understand the prophetic word of God. It is necessary that you are clear on what the Bible teaches in regards to these last days. It serves as a warning. It serves as an opportunity for us to prepare, to be ready at such an hour as we think not that the Son will come. So I'm encouraging you to go back into the archives and look at that subject matter. And there is a series also on the book of Acts that's there as well. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, and for allowing us to have this opportunity to share together and to look in your word and find the answers to our situations and our problems and to be encouraged by these words of wisdom and knowledge. And we just want to thank you, Father, for all that you have given us. And we thank you for Jesus coming to die on Calvary's cross And we thank him for sending the Holy Ghost to us, that he may bring all things to our memory, that we may live and abide in the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of our lives until we see you face to face. Lord, help us to be diligent about what you have assigned us to do. Help us to complete the assignment, and we can look up and say, lo, this is our God. We've waited for him, and he will save us. Help us, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, my friend. Thank you. And tonight we're looking at the subject, threshing wheat in the wine press. Threshing wheat in the wine press. And that's very interesting. Back in the ancient days where the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and of course, you know, there was this method of separating the wheat from the tares, and so they oftentimes would beat out the wheat in the threshing floor, and they were able to separate that wheat from tares, and that was a process that they went through, and it is clean and typical as a type of what you and I as children of God will experience. There is a lot of stuff oftentimes that is encapsulated in our thinking, in the way that we've been brought up. Some of our sins that we commit today has been passed on from generation to generation. You can see a lot of stuff that's on the inside of us that came from some of our ancestral upbringing. The environment that we live in sometimes produces behaviors that sometimes are unseemly and unnatural, and so God is trying to demonstrate for the children of Israel that sometimes in order to separate the wheat from the tares, there has to be sometimes some shaking, some thrashing the wheat onto the threshing floor in order for it to separate. There are times in your life that you have experienced what appear to be so many trials and tribulations that were coming upon you, and you were hanging your head down and saying, Lord, why me? And yet all these things are happening because there is some particular parts of your character that God is pruning. He is cutting away some of the shaft of that's a part of your life, and he's getting rid of those things. Way over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, there is some interesting information here that we want to cover. In Leviticus, chapter 26, it says, ye shall make you no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. So he says, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. This vintage is the grape harvest. And he's saying that your threshing, the time that you will begin to thresh, it's going to overlap. These seasons are going to overlap. In other words, God is going to give you so much in abundance that it's going to look like that there's stuff that you have that is not going to run out. In fact, it's not going to run out. It's going to go from the harvest to the wheat harvest, and it's going to last all the way until the time of the sowing. And so he says, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and your vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. So here are the promises of God that he is going to do on behalf of the children of Israel for their obedience unto him. And he says, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Now, this is the promise of God. This is what God has put himself on the line for, that I will do all these things when you will decide that to make me your God and your God alone. But if you make you some idols and graven images and you rear them up and you stand them up in before me and you set the any of the images of the stone in your land and you begin to bow down yourself, he says, for I am the Lord your God. God says, I am your God. I created you. I made you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and I'm bringing you into this land. It's called the promised land. It's called the land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now you are about to fulfill the promise that I made unto your forefathers. But the children of Israel, according to Act 33, Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. This is in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 1. He says, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. And so here, these people, God says and declared that they were a stiff-necked people. They are people who would not hear nor give ear to what God had said unto them. So by the time you get to Judges, because God had promised to chase their enemies, that they would chase their enemies, and the enemies would fall by the sword and all of those things. But by the time you get to Judges chapter 6, I want you to turn with me to Judges chapter 6, because all of these things were about to turn around for the children of Israel. And Judges chapter 6, and starting at verse 1, it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midians 7 years. There are some things that we can go so far away from God on that God has to deal with us and he has to punish us. And seven is a number of completion. Seven is the perfect number. Seven is when God is about to do something. He also determined 7 years upon King Nebuchadnezzar, where King Nebuchadnezzar had to go out into the field and eat grass like an oxen, and his nails grew real long, and his hair grew like feathers. And so God means what he says, and he says what he means. And when we deviate from the pathway of God, and sometimes God is so merciful that he allows us to have space to repent for what it is that we have done. But then there's this type of mindset that oftentimes comes in where people will persist in doing the evil thing that they know is wrong, and they know that it's against God, and they prevail with doing these things over and over again. And then God says, and now I've got to deal with this evil. And so he dealt with it for 7 years. And oftentimes, God will allow your enemies that otherwise would be at peace with you, he will cause your enemies to come up and check you. He will cause your enemies to come up and bring some serious punishment to you because you will not do what he says. And so God kind of just allows his hands of mercy to go away for a moment and allow you to your own decisions and choices, and he will allow you to see how that thing is going to work out for you. And so in verse number 2 of Judges chapter 6, he says, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle in their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land and destroyed it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So here God says that the reason you're in the situation that you're in, where your enemy has come in now, and you can't even get no food, that the stuff that you've sown in the ground, I allowed them to come in and confiscate it in the harvest time. So your children can't eat, you can't even eat. So God will allow some things to happen. When God's hand is upon your life, brothers and sisters, you better continue with God, because if you continue to go contrary to the word of God and you begin to persist in your own way and do your own thing, it's like saying to God, I've got another God. It's myself. I'm serving this thing with all of my heart and with all of my might. And God says, look, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to deal with you. And he raises a prophet to remind them of where they come from. So oftentimes we get ourselves into positions, whether on our job or we have some success in our life, and we forget God. And God says that, hey, way back there, he told them, he says, look, in Deuteronomy, he says, I don't want you to get to the place where you forget me. after you get into your nice houses and stuff like that, and you eating good and all of that, it says, and you began to start boasting about how great things you have done and how bad you are and how good your education is and all of those types of things, anything that distracts your mind from doing the will and the purpose of God, you can rest assured that you're on the pathway to destruction. He says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads unto life. And he says, and few there is going to be that's going to find that pathway, because if you're anything like the children of Israel, a stiff-necked people, a people that did not regard God or even hold God near to their hearts because they wanted to do their own thing. They had a whole lot of slavery mentality inside of them. And so no matter how far sometimes you get away from God, God oftentimes will have somebody to come in, bring you a warning. That will come and bring you a thought to check your behavior. Just before destruction comes, God always sends a warning. And sometimes it's a warning that does not look like a warning. Sometimes we think that because we got away with some particular thing, that nothing that God is going to do to us in the future. But God says, look, hey, I don't want you to sin, my little children, but if you do sin, know that you have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ. And that's over in 1 John chapter 2. He says, my little children, I don't want you to sin, but if you do, know that you have an advocate with the Father. God wants you to correct the thing right away. Don't let day after day after day linger on into weeks and months and years, and you have not confessed or repented of your sin or forsaken the thing that you know that you've done wrong. God is saying, that's what I'm against. That's what I will come against. And so here we find in Judges chapter 6, and we're looking at verse number 11, he says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joaz the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou man of thou mighty man of valor. Can you imagine having a dream from the angel of the Lord and says that you are a mighty man of valor? You are a mighty person in the household of God. God looks at you as a mighty person, a person of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all these his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So here God is calling Gideon. And Gideon, as he appears, he says, wait a minute. Didn't you bring us out of Egypt, and where is the miracles that have befallen us? I don't see none of this stuff that my forefathers have talked about how great you have been delivering us, and here we sitting in the midst of the Midianites, and these guys are getting the best of us, God. What are you going to do about this? I tell you, my friends, you better be careful when you ask, what is God going to do about a situation? Because you can rest assured that he has a solution, and he's not going to bypass the person that's asking the question. You can often rest assured that if you have a heart of concern on that level, that God will utilize you and your concern as a solution to the problem. He calls you a mighty person because I want you to know that God looks at people who have a concerned heart for others. He tells us that to love our neighbors as ourselves and love our enemies as ourselves, to love our enemies as well. And so God puts us in a position oftentimes that he chooses us to come up with a solution to a situation. And so here Gideon, who inquired about where are the miracles, he says, in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this problem? If you on our side, God, why is all this happening to us? And so oftentimes, there are many people who go to church and who appear to be faithful in all that they do, and they're going through trouble. They're wondering, if you are with me, God, why are you allowing me to go through all of this? It's that threshing of the wheat. There are some things in your character that God has to thresh out of it. And sometimes he allows the enemy to come in, and he will allow that enemy to buffet you. Because God must remain humble, and we will depend and trust upon him, because we love God with our whole heart and our whole mind, and all of our soul is involved in this thing. And so he tells Gideon his plan. He says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And verse 14 says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he says, have not I sent thee? He asked him a question, have I not sent you? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said, look, I've got a plan, Gideon. I've got this plan that I've designed especially for you. You're going to go against the Midianites as one man. It's going to feel like they're getting beat by one man, because I'm going to take you and be with you. And it's interesting that Gideon says that, look, I'm the least of my father's house. There's no adequacy humanly that I can point to as a reason why you will call me. But I want you to know that all of you, with all of your inefficiencies, with all of your limitations, with all of that, God declared you to be a mighty man of valor because of the fact that he sees something on the inside of us that's greater than stuff on the outside of us. And so he monitors the thing that's on the inside of us. He says, I see that heart of care and that heart of desire to make a difference and to make a change in the lives of others. And so God says, I can utilize that individual in my mission, in my plan to turn things around. And I believe that you perhaps, if you're listening to this broadcast right now, I want you to know that God is concerned about you. And not only is he concerned about you, he's concerned about the thing that he has deposited in you. And God is going to come for that thing that he has deposited in you. You are not going to sit on the sideline and not allow God to utilize you. And that's why I want you to also understand that the ministry that my wife and I are about to embark upon as we go into this new church, The ministry is called Training Ground Ministries, and it's going to be a place people are going to be grounded, rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and we're going to provide such training as to look at your gifts and your talents and see where God wants to place you in the ministry. There is going to be, if you're a person who wants to sing, then you have a place over at the Training Ground Ministries to demonstrate the gifting that God has given to you. If you are a musician or you are trained to become a musician, you have a place at the Training Ground Ministry. If you are an individual that believes that God has called you to preach, to teach, to evangelize, that you have a prophetic calling on your life or apostolic calling on your life, I want you to know that you can have a place at the Training Ground Ministries. We want to develop and pour into you so that you'll be able to minister before God. God is going to do some great and mighty things in your life, and it is my prayer that you will hold fast the profession of your faith, that you will continue to go forward in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to need to continue to go forward in faith. So I want you to bless the Lord and keep on fighting the good fight of faith. And as we are looking here in this word, in the book of Judges, God chooses Gideon. And he tells Gideon, he says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? In verse 15, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come to thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Here God will tarry with you. If you are willing to tarry with God, God says, I will tarry with you. I'm going to be with you. God is so expressive in his heart to want to help us and to encourage us and give us the assurance that I will be with you. God says, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And so here he says in verse 19, and Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. That's about 36 pounds. The flesh he put in the basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak, and he presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock. Pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And so here he receives a call. He wants to confirm calling that he is actually speaking to God. Oftentimes God is speaking to us, and many times because sometimes there are some things on the inside of us that are not accustomed to hearing the voice of God. And sometimes the instructions that God has given is oftentimes strange because it appears to be out of the loop or out of step with the norm. Here God comes and calls a man who appears to be the least of Manasseh. He's poor, and I want you to understand that it's not what you possess that makes God able to work with you. It's what God possesses that he can bestow upon you, because God has always made provisions for everybody that he has called to do his will. He makes provisions for that particular thing to be carried out. And so in verse 25 it says, "And it came to pass that the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, and in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." So here God gives him some instructions. I want you to go in and I want you to take that altar that your father has made unto Baal, and I want you to tear it down. And then that pole that he raised up, I want you to cut that down, and I want you to utilize it for firewood that's going to be on this altar, on this burnt sacrifice. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who had done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing." Then the man of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal, and because he had cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one had cast down his altar." And therefore, on that day, he called the name Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down his altar." Here, God knows how to put some things, my sisters and brothers. If Baal be God, then hey, let him fight for himself. If he's all of that, then he can avenge himself. He can come against Gideon himself. Why are you standing in instead and trying to fight? In place of God, there's going to come a time where God will tear down all of your altars, all of the things that you have built up in place of him. He will show you that it is nothing, and that it will be nothing, that it can never come to nothing if you continue to persist in your way. And all of the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So Gideon sends out to all of the children of Israel to gather the men for war. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed it in the dew in a bowl full of water. So he puts down this fleece, and he asks God. He says, I want you to make the fleece wet and let all the part around it be dry. And what's interesting is that a fleece, and it would not naturally retain heavy dew. And so that's why Gideon asked him to make it wet, because he knew that the fleece would not naturally or normally be able to take on heavy dew. And God was gracious and tender in his sign that he wanted. He wanted to go in and get a little more assurance from God that you are speaking to me. And so God did. He allowed that to happen. Then Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me. I will speak but once, this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So he did the reverse. He said, let the fleece be dry, and now let it be wet around it. And God allowed, and God listened to Gideon, and he allowed him to have these two signs so that he may strengthen him. When you get in chapter 7, God allows Gideon to go and even to the enemy's camp. They were saying, amen, had some technical difficulties there, but we're back right here live again. So God takes Gideon, and as he gathers all of the men of war together, there was some over 22,000 men. There was like something like 32,000 men that were gathered for the battle. And God told Gideon, you have too many people, and I need you to send some of them home. And so he says to them, whoever is afraid and their heart was fearful, just go home. And so they went home, and it left 10,000 men that remained. And then God began to take them down by the waterside, to see how they would, if they lapped water like a dog, then they were going to go home too. In the end, there were only 300 men, and it was Gideon's 300 that God said that these are the people that he was going to use that to overcome them. So in verse 13 of Judges chapter 7, we pick up the story. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midians and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And this fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand had God delivered Midian and all of the host. So here, after God had showed him the fleece and all of that, he came to Gideon and he says to Gideon, I want you to go to the camp over the enemies and watch what they say about what's going on with you. And he goes and hears the story, and he comes back in verse 15, and it says, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of the Midian. It's such an awesome thing to have answer to prayer, so much so that I like what the Bible says in regards to Gideon, that he went and worshiped. He went and worshiped. After he got the assurance, after he heard the interpretation in the dream, he worshiped. And then he returned unto Israel. He worshiped before he got to Israel. He had worship service right over there. He had a worship experience. And then he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand, pitcher, and the lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outer side of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so ye shall do. And when I blow with the trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord. And Gideon, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came on to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had put newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and that there were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake their pitchers, the lamps in their hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, The sword of the Lord and Gideon, and of Gideon. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know that when God puts the battle together, you can assure that you're going to have victory. And so we have this interesting subject, threshing wheat in the wine press. Threshing wheat in the wine press. And it's amazing, because that's exactly when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, that's what Gideon was doing. He was threshing the wheat in the wine press. And it's interesting, because it's symbolic of even the dream that he had, because the wine press was the place where they crushed the grapes, and in order to get the juice out of it to make the wine. And so, instead of in some translations it says that he had the wheat inside of the wine press, the place, because it provided a hiding place that he might have wheat, that he might have grain for bread. And so the Midianites had gotten so bad that every time the children of Israel had a harvest, they would come in and take their harvest from them, so they were not able to eat. And they would take their cattle and all of that. And this had gone on for 7 years. God allowed this thing to go on 7 years till the punishment was fully complete for the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, that is when God set forth the deliverance. God wants to deliver us out of everything that we are involved in that is unrelated to righteousness and holiness and pureness. God says, I want to deliver you out of that thing. And sometimes I have to take the wheat and I have to thrash it against the threshing floor. I've got to step on it. I've got to shake it. I've got to do all sorts of things in order for you and I to come out of this thing that he wants to bring us to. You can rest assured that God has a victory plan for you in place. If you would only allow God to be God in your life and allow him to take hold of you, you will discover that you will gain the victory as did him. Only with utilizing 300 men to fight a whole army, And it turned out that all of this army began to turn on themselves and kill themselves. And Gideon now confused them so much because of the breaking of the pitchers and the light that was shining and the blowing of the trumpets. They didn't know where the battle was. They didn't know how it was being done, and they were being chased out of the valley. And that valley kind of represented the wine press. And Gideon came in, and he was treading upon the wine press. He was treading upon the wheat. And I want you to see this thing because it was also metaphor of Jesus himself. In Isaiah chapter 63, and verse number 3, Isaiah 63 and verse 3 says, "I have tried the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth." And Christ allowed Gideon to do exactly that. He brought them down. They were in the valley. They were all over the mountaintop trying to hide from them. But then they came down, and they began to tread upon their enemies. And God tells you and I that he has given you power and authority to tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, upon all the power of the enemy. So God has given you such authority in him to operate and live and abide in this kind of a mindset. So in Revelation chapter 14, we see also this typification of what Christ will do in these last days. In Revelation chapter 14 and looking at verse number 19, and it says, "And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." So God says, this is typical of what even I will do in these last days. And in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15 is another example of it. He says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword." That's Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty, of the Almighty God. So, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Christ will tread the winepress. He will tread upon his enemies. God has given you the ability to tread upon your enemy, upon all of the power of the enemy. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. God wants you to understand that there is a real enemy, and he is behind the scene. And just the two other scriptures for you to note in First Chronicles. Chapter 21, First Chronicles chapter 21, and what's that? 21 and verse 18. David had done an evil thing, and that he had numbered the people, and God told him not to number the people, and God had not required David to do this thing. David was feeling a little beside himself, and he in verse 1 of the chapter 21 of First Chronicles says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'The Lord make this people 100 times too many more as they be, but the Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?' Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel, came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew the sword. And Judah was 430,000 men that drew the sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, 'I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done it very foolishly.'" And so David goes, in verse 18 it says, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." Now he had to go and set up an altar in the threshing floor. There was wheat that was threshed in the wine press. And now David had to go through to the threshing floor and build an altar there. Oftentimes God has to deliver us. And this typical thing is that while you are in the threshing floor, while you're in the place where God is using to correct you, he wants you to set up an altar. Because when you set that altar, it's also a place of worship. Can you worship God even when God begins to correct you and restore you and deliver you and bring you back unto himself? Can you continue to worship him? God wants to lead us through our threshing floor. He may thresh us as wheat, and that he may tread upon us in our enemies in the wine press. Will you work in you the thing that you need most? And that is oftentimes the correction that God may lead us in direction. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will correct us, so that we might be led in the right direction. Help us have peace. Help us to have worship. Help us to have an experience with you until we see you face to face, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a great night, and thank you for tuning in. God be with you, and God be praised.